It's a wonderful opportunity again today to bring you a message of truth. I trust today, wherever you are, that this is a good day for you, or a good evening, or maybe early morning, wherever you are. And if you'll listen for just a short time, I believe that we can bring a message of hope, a message of truth. You know, the world today is groping, and they're searching and looking for answers. How can I be happy? How can I live a successful, overcoming life? My friend, God, in His Word, has the answer, and we want to bring some of the answers to you today. Many times we have questions, and we want to answer a question. Before we get into our message today, we want to ask something of you. If you are a Christian today, if you've been saved, born again, you know what it means to be a Christian. You know, there was somebody instrumental. There was somebody that was helpful to help you to become a Christian. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody talked to you about the Lord and caused you to become interested, and you became saved. I'd like to hear from you this month. If you would just sit down and write us at our following address that will be given at the conclusion of this program, we'd be so glad to hear from you. And you just tell us in detail how that you came to know the Lord, how that you became a Christian. We'd be so glad to hear from you. Today our subject is going to be, what should a Christian do in the time of suffering? Now the Lord Jesus spoke to His disciples. He said, in this life you'll have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to suffer. And what do we do when we are brought under suffering? In 1 Samuel, if you have a Bible, would you turn and let us read together? 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. So we must remember that God is a truthful God. Whatever God says is right, it is perfect, and the Bible said in Him is no variableness or shadow of turning. God doesn't turn one degree right or left because He doesn't have to, because He is perfect, and what He says is perfect truth, and therefore we know that God has the power to back up His Word. And He said, here the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. You see, God has got a name to protect. And if we could discredit God in any way, the human race would do that. People are trying every day to discredit God. But now, what should a Christian do? I'm brought into this suffering, and why? Well, first of all, sometimes we suffer because of our sins. Now, we find that Adam, the first man that ever walked upon this earth, he sinned against God, he and Eve. They disobeyed God, and therefore sin was introduced to the human family. And God said even that we would earn our living by the sweat of our brow. So death is pronounced upon the human family. We're going to suffer in this life, and eventually we're going to die, not only physically, but we're going to die spiritually. And of course, God's purpose is that we would have a remedy, and that remedy is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes, as I said, it's our sin that brings about suffering upon us. Psalms, the 119th division, in verses 67, this is the psalmist David speaking, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. And so we can see here that the psalmist David placed some credit to the afflictions. We don't know, because we are somewhat a proud human creation. And therefore, we're so rebellious against God that we have to be brought under subjection. And sometimes this is the only way that we will listen to God, is by afflictions being brought upon us. In verse 71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So you see, the psalmist David gave some credit to the afflictions that was upon his life, because it made him to become humble and submissive to God. I find another person in the Bible by the name of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. You know, he was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, we know that this must have been a painful, whatever the affliction was. The Bible said he had a thorn in the flesh. a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And the Bible said he besought, or he asked God three times to remove this thorn from the flesh. Now, we don't know what this thorn was, but it was something that was suffering. It was something that plagued him, and he wanted it removed. And after he prayed to God, finally God answered him after the third time, and he said, Paul, I will not remove this thorn, but I will give you grace to bear it. And so he suffered a thorn in the flesh. Now, God uses us. You see, that made him weak in one sense, but nevertheless, it made him strong in another aspect of his life. And so sometimes, even the most humblest people sometimes that we could ever find on earth are people confined to a wheelchair, confined to a hospital bed, or something of this nature. So God somehow let this come to their life. Now, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, even to those that are called according to His purpose. Another reason that people suffer in this life is in order to test us. We know that we become tested there in the case of Job. If you remember, he was a perfect and an upright man. And Satan came to God and said, now if you will just take this hedge from around Job, meaning that he's prospered, he's the richest man, he's got a family, he's prosperous, he's in good health, and if you'll take some of these things from him, he'll curse you to his face. And God knew that he had a person that would stand the test. Everything that came toward Job, we find that even Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. So we find in a sense that Job, every persecution, every testing, every suffering, that he endured it, though sometimes he complained, and he complained because he simply did not understand what God was doing with him. We find that Job, in the latter part, the last chapter of the book of Job, that he prayed, and the Bible said God changed the situation in Job's life, and he gave him back twice more than he had in the very beginning. And sometimes the suffering comes to purge us in order to get the best out of us. You see, as gold is tried in the fire, and sometimes God puts us through the fire in order to purge us, to make us better. Now, what should we do? Well, we're taught in James chapter 5, verses 13, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. So we can come to God like the Apostle Paul did, remembering that God says, tribulation worketh patience. Someone says, I want more patience. I'm a very impatient person. Well, the Bible said the formula that we might have more patience is tribulation. And my, we just don't want tribulation. We've got all the problems. We've got all the pain. We've got all the suffering that we can endure. But sometimes God knows the best for us. And may I insert here, friend, that there are people around the world that are teaching the doctrine that if you don't prosper, if you don't have the best of everything, if you don't live in the best of home, drive the best of car, have the best of food and the best of everything, that either there's sin in your life or you don't have faith. But my dear friend, this is not in consistency with the Word of God. There are people that I'm sure listening to me today in poverty-stricken countries where that because of one reason or another, the economic situation or perhaps other problems that is falling across your path, that you don't have security in a job, you don't have things that maybe people have in other countries, and you live as good a life as I do. So friend, today, don't you let Satan try to tell you because you don't have what other people have that there must be sin in your life. There are people throughout the Bible. Let's take the case of Joseph. He was sold into bondage. God had a purpose in this man's life. He suffered. He was taken from his family. He was placed in a dungeon. He was taken over and placed in prison and stayed there for several years because God had a purpose in Joseph's life. Finally, in the end, he was resurrected to be in power and rescued his own family, his own nation. But you see, in the time of testing, the time of trouble, and the time that he was placed in the prison, my friends, you may be in a prison today of some nature as far as prosperity as far as being successful is concerned, but maybe God is working something out in your life. Maybe God is choosing to make a Joseph out of you. He's going to use the suffering and the pain that you're enduring now, that you, through this, that God is going to bring you out on the other side, and you're going to be able to help somebody else because you have been brought into this situation. In the 34th division of Psalms, verses 15, said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." So remember, God said not even a sparrow would fall to the ground. The most unlikely, unuseful bird in the bird family is a sparrow. And God said not even one would fall to the ground except our Heavenly Father knows about it. So we know the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. It said the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their trouble. Isn't that a great promise of God today? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, he's talking about righteous people, not sinful people, not rebellious people. But he said the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. If you're going through a great valley of trial today, if you're going through persecution, isolation, or suffering today, just go to God in prayer today, because God has a divine purpose in this. Because, listen, you belong to the Lord, and he said the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry, and said the Lord will not forsake you for his great name's sake. Would you bow with me just now in a moment of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. I thank you, Lord, for its eternal purpose. And God, the purpose that you have in this person's life that's listening to my voice today, would you bless them, Lord? Give them the joy that they need in their life and their heart to serve you, dear God, to be instrumental and to be a person that would witness for you in whatever state they're in, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.